But you also have some ones that, you know, don't do the right thing. So you have to be careful out there with selecting the right restoration company, especially.
The open communication is the most important probably, but also the least common. The open communication is a struggle for a lot of businesses because
something to keep in mind. But even in a slower time, it still may take them a second for on a bigger job. So it's communicating that up front.
They are displaced. They're out of their home. They're living with family. They're in a hotel. Every day that they're not in their home, it weighs on them more than just regular inconveniences. So
number one thing is authenticity. I would say that's probably one of the most important things in selling your business.
Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of South Haven Business Beat, where we sit down with business owners, business workers, and entrepreneurs to just learn more about what they do, how they came to be in the business they're in, and ways that you can do business better and just live life better with just wisdom and inspiration. I'm sitting down today with Joseph Davis of Paul Davis Restoration of the Mid-South and North Mississippi. We are so excited to have you. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kristen. Absolutely. And thanks to the Chamber as well, too, for presenting us with this opportunity.
Yeah.
Just glad to spend some time with you.
So you're a new member, and we're just throwing you right in. So throwing you to the wolves, but we're giving you an opportunity to tell your story. That's what I do. And I want to go beyond just Paul Davis Restoration. I want to know how you came to be a part of the company, what your journey and your story looks like. So start out. Tell me a little bit about you personally.
Okay. Well, like you said, Joseph Davis, I'm the director of business development with Paul Davis Restoration. It's of the Mid-South. That's the Memphis region and North Mississippi, of course. You know, South Haven, we go all the way down to Oxford, Mississippi. So, okay. But no, I've been with Paul Davis Restoration for not quite a year. I've been in the industry, though, for restoration probably coming up on 7 years this year. Okay. Six years this year. Started out with Service Master Brands, corporate, during COVID, wound up over there after spending about almost 10 years at ALSAC, St. Jude. And wound up, going from nonprofit to for-profit, kind of got thrown into Service Master, was over two smaller brands, Furniture Medic and Amerispec, furniture repair. A lot of the, growth areas with Furniture Medic were in cabinet repairs for insurance claims. And that's with, because of the relationship with Service Master Brands, that was the umbrella company that owned and ran and managed the Furniture Medic brand, same for Amerispec inspection services. So residential and commercial, home inspections in the US and Canada. I'm going to try to be brief, so bear with me, Kristen, but that's how I kind of got my intro way into home services and, restoration services. We ended up being bought out, Service Master as a whole did, and separated from Terminix. They, the private equity company moved the corporate headquarters down to Atlanta. A lot of us stayed remote. I actually was a part of a peel off another private equity acquisition of my two brands, Furniture Medic and Amerispec, peeled it off, launched a new franchisor called TCB Franchising. We basically took the largest growth vehicle in Furniture Medic, which was the cabinet repairs for claims, peeled that off and made it its own brand and launched a company called Renew Medic. And started selling franchises for it. So we were selling franchises across the U.S. I was on the leadership team. I basically was running and was the marketing director for all three brands, Amerispec, Furniture Medic, and the new brand, Renew Medic. So it was awesome. Got an opportunity to set up a new brand, lead the charge behind the concepting, even the naming, even had a little piece of the company, too. But it was overwhelming. You know, I'm born and raised in Memphis, and I have two kids, 9 and 11. At campus school in Memphis. So it was just got to be overwhelming as far as the travel schedule. Like anytime, like I ended up moving from marketing into sales, heavy B2B, all three brands, your, you know, Amerispec, you're marketing to agents, you know, Furniture Medic, and especially Renew Medic, you're marketing to restoration companies like ours, as well as adjusters and insurance carriers as well. But so heavy B2B, you know, we needed to beef up our sales effort. So I was like, hey, I'm learning that and developing that and actually pretty good at it. So end up heading that up. And basically what I did is I trained our owners, was marketing, how to market these businesses locally, and then shifted into how to selling and how to do B2B sales and, you know, how to set benchmarks and set plans and budgets and that sort of thing. For your, basically your entire marketing sales funnel. Wow. So we end up launching Renew Medic. I was heading sales for it. We had a branch, a corporate branch in Bartlett, still do. And what I would do is I would sell to Paul Davis Restoration, to all of our competitors. I'm not going to name them because I'm just naming Paul Davis Restoration for this.
Understood.
Got to know actually the good from the bad, like the good brands and good local companies from the bad ones that may not be as ethical as they should be. In that process, I was selling to Paul Davis these cabinet services. And because I was having to travel so much, I mean, we're talking probably at this point, if I were still there every week, as they sold a new franchise, we would take an owner through owner school out in Bartlett and Cordova. And then once they got back and were ready to launch, I would travel out to their location and take them for about a 3-day period. And I would drag them to offices like ours, like the Paul Davis out there and the local mom and pop restoration companies, the other franchise ones. And in that process, I was like, this is just overwhelming. This is not feasible longer term.
Yeah.
So I just reached out to Thomas Owens, our owner and my boss now, and just asked him randomly. I was like, you know, look, this is overwhelming. You know, or who's doing your sales and business development and marketing? And he basically had just posted a job for a business development lead, probably 2 or 3 days before I text him. So just kind of the stars aligned.
Nice.
And wound up working for Thomas. And sorry, that was a long-winded part of my story. But like, you know, I've obviously told it before. And again, like what I like to stress here is like, you know, in this business, you do have some really good players. Like we have some great competitors and we run a good, ethical, honest business too. But you also have some ones that, you know, don't do the right thing. So you have to be careful out there with selecting the right restoration company, especially if you're going through and having to file a claim. You don't want to have to come out of pocket anything more than your deductible. Mm-hmm. So and that's what we provide. And that's the promise we make, unless you want to go outside of the claim and we're going to provide you an estimate. And that's going to be all predetermined before we do any work, you know, and communicate that well with the policyholder or customer.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to bring more opportunities to our members and to our community. And this podcast is one of the many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't be able to do what we do without the support of our sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. They're the strategic tech partner that makes it possible for businesses to work smarter and not harder. Wisdom Integrators helps organizations harness that power of technology by designing tailored solutions for workflow, automation, process improvement, and digital transformation. For small businesses or large enterprises, they bridge the gap between the vision and the execution. Are you ready to scale up your efficiency and impact? Then you need to come and visit wisdomintegrators.com to schedule your consultation today.
So that has got to be happy for your wife too, finally having you home and not traveling as much with all of your littles and everything. I bet that was overwhelming for three different companies that were all still one company, but three different companies. And that's a lot.
Yeah, it was. Because I mean, I was basically running marketing for three brands, then shifted into running sales and business development for three brands. And I loved it. I learned a lot. But happy where I'm at. And it's a better fit for me.
So with you being still in business development, but just for Paul Davis, what does that look like? What does your day-to-day look like working for them?
Well, I mean, doing things like this, trying to get our names out there, But, you know, selling to a lot of insurance agents, property management companies. So joining chambers like, you know, the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, like this is a great opportunity to get down here. South Haven is growing rapidly. You know, a lot of the places around Memphis because of, you know, data centers to what is it, Ford. I was just over in east of Memphis. Was it near Stanton where they're building the Blue Oval?
Yes.
So you've got development happening in, you know, to the west of Memphis, to the south of it. So, but my day to day, it changes. It really is. It's like, you know, some days it may be visiting offices for insurance offices. It may be going to property management offices. It may be networking. It's something for the South Haven Chamber, doing a podcast interview with the South Haven Chamber, which we appreciate the opportunity. And sometimes it's even, you know, calling up somebody's had a fire. You know, and you'll see these on the news, or we have apps and stuff, and our competitors do this as well. Like we're, you know, you're showing up or looking up somebody that's had a fire at their house and seeing what we can do to help them through the claim. Yeah. And it's basically, you know, trying to earn trust, though, in any of these situations. That our goal, like I stated earlier, Kristen, is to basically, whether it be, you know, a water loss, like water damage restoration work, to a fire loss, or mold remediation, to get the job done for nothing more than what their deductible is. Now, in commercial, we do a lot of business commercial restoration work. That's a little dicier because you may not, some of these commercial policies are so, the deductible so high. A lot of times, either the property management company or the owner, they don't want to spend that much on a deductible, and a lot of the work we're doing, you know, just out of pocket,
yeah,
kind of type of work. But we always provide, we really stress four things. And the fourth really has to do with commercial, but, and these are things that, you know, I work with our ops director, Herky Cantu, and Thomas on with our team, but it is quality work every time. So we have to have the right people doing the right kind of work to make sure Absolutely. It's done the right way and priced the right way too, through a claim, typically. Timeliness, getting these things done in a reasonable amount of time. People don't want to wait forever. And I get, you can't rush quality. Well, look, you know, sometimes when things are going through a claim, you know, you have certain things that, and like if it's a program work, like if a carrier sent us a lead directly, we have these strict SLAs, service level agreements that we have to adhere to. So, you know, have to provide the quality work, have to do it in a reasonable amount of time. And what do you think is the third one? And it's probably the hardest part of this type of work, and probably any home services company, communication. Mm. Communication. Like what we don't want is people getting, you know, like we can't get a hold of the contractor. We don't know what's going on with it. We haven't heard back from someone. So we don't look, you have to be able to communicate and proactively communicate.
Every step of the way.
Exactly. Yes. And you know, sometimes it's not always good. It's like, hey, we've hit this delay because of X, Y, and Z, but hey, don't not tell somebody that. Don't, right. You know, not mention that to the or the customer. It's like, hey, no, we've hit this snag, or hey, we're going to have to provide some information back to the adjuster because we have to supplement. We want to prevent those things. But look, you know, you don't, sometimes you don't know what you're getting to until you take out, you know, some of the drywall, right, or get behind. So those things pop up. So it's really, you know, quality work, timeliness, and proactive communication. Those are the three things we stress. And then when it comes to commercials, business continuity. So that's working with, you know, whoever your lead is, whether that be the owner or the property management company. And you sometimes you want to dictate certain things to them, but at the end of the day, that's their business. Yeah. You know, and what can we do as a restoration company to keep business going? You know, if it's in retail, if we can, you know, cordon off part of the store while we do our work. You know, or use temporary walls or whatever containment needed. But it's just having those conversations and having open communication, because those are the people that are running and managing that business. You go in there trying to dictate everything, they're like, whoa, or they may want to call somebody else. It's more of like, hey, we can get this done. Here's what we recommend. What are the most vital, important things that you have to have to keep business going?
And then
we go from there.
And that is usually the most vital and important thing. I don't want to have to shut down completely to fix this problem. So working back and forth with that, it's definitely a fine balance. But those are key components, no matter what industry you're in. The open communication is the most important probably, but also the least common. The open communication is a struggle for a lot of businesses because you do this from day to day, so you know the process. And after so many years, I've heard, you know, like people just, oh, well, this is the process. Well, these people have never gone through it before, so they don't know this is the process. And a lot of times when you're dealing with insurance companies, it's a hurry up and wait. Like, you can do what you do as quickly and efficiently as possible, but you still are going to have to wait until the insurance company does what they do. And some of them don't get in a very big hurry. And that customer that you're dealing with looks at it with, why are you taking so long?
Yeah. And that comes back to, Kristen, like, you hit the head on the nail. There's so many times that what we try to do is communicate those things in the front end. How long? So, you know, if you've had a big fire at your house, well, you know, you've only dealt with probably one fire in your life and probably only want to deal with that one fire. So you don't know all the proper processes, procedures. You know, first things first is, you know, we want to make sure everybody's okay. But the biggest thing that people need to understand in those situations is getting an estimate done on a project that big. Yeah. So once you've selected a, you know, restoration company, and hopefully it's us at Paul Davis, but what I try to do is when I show up, we'll meet the adjuster on site. Once they filed a claim, the adjuster gets scheduled. If it's a fire, what they'll have to is in fire and investigator. They're usually independent. Mm-hmm. I think they're always independent, and they do what's a CNO, cause and origin report, make sure there was no foul play, things like that. But typically when you're meeting that adjuster, I try to tell the policyholder up front, it's like, hey, and adjuster tells them this too. It's like, they are going to do the estimate, or we're going to do it. We're going to price it the same way. Most carriers use exactment pricing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a pricing mechanism to make sure that, you know, the carriers aren't getting gouged, and it kind of is a framework for contractors to make sure things are priced the way insurance wants them priced, to make sure things get covered the right way. Well, when you're going through an estimate process, sometimes you're either, we may do it first and provide that estimate to the adjuster, or the adjuster is typically doing the estimate and then providing that to us. And then, so it's explaining, hey, well, if they're doing the estimate first, or we are, it's going to take this amount of time. And it's usually a couple of weeks, especially if you've got, like, you know, a huge fire that's caused over, you know, $100,000, a large loss, over $100,000 in damages. Well, you know, you've got to get and scope that, inspect it. The adjuster is basically an estimator too. So they're doing theirs. They provide that to us. So it's like letting the policyholder know, hey, this is going to take, you know, and the adjuster's usually telling them that a week, and sometimes they go over. And, you know, a lot of these adjusters, they're dealing with lots of different claims, especially if it's like we've had a big freeze or something like that. So something to keep in mind. But even in a slower time, it still may take them a second for on a bigger job. So it's communicating that up front. And then once we get their estimate, we're going to walk that job, and they'll tell you, like, the adjuster, like, hey, we know we're going to miss some things. And then our guy, you know, our gal will go through and take their estimate, walk through everything. We'll even do like a video of the entire property. And then it's communicating back, hey, this is going to take us about a week or a week and a half to get ours back to your adjuster. Yeah. And then once we get our information, what they've missed, the adjuster looks at all our documentation, takes that into effect. It's like, okay. And it's usually approved, but that takes a little bit of time. So you're on a bigger fire, for a residential property, and you may be looking at, you know, a month to 2 months to get an estimate approved. Yeah. And so it's just like making sure people understand that up front too, and just proactively communicating that up front. Because if you don't, you're going to get those texts and calls, and people don't know where we're at. Why is this taking so long? You know, so again, doing that stuff on the front end to gain trust and to just, you know, it all honestly helps us out more for not getting inundated with calls and texts going through an estimate process. And sometimes even after we provided things back to the adjuster, and this is not a knock on them, because like, I feel for these adjusters. They sometimes are dealing with a lot on their plates. They're dealing with so many claims, and people don't take that into account. It's like, they're not just dealing with your claims. So what I like to tell folks is like, hey, be as nice as you can to your adjuster. And we'll usually follow up with them to make sure that gets done as quickly as possible, to get it approved so we can go ahead and schedule work and get that house back to the way it was before, if not better, because most of it's going to be new at that point.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to create more opportunities for our members and community to share their story. And this podcast is just one of many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't make it happen without Pure Focus Media, the creative team behind the scenes helping make us and a lot of local businesses to look and sound their best. Pure Focus Media is on a mission to make high-quality video and content creation accessible to businesses of all sizes. From strategy to production, they help tell your story, attract more leads, and grow through the power of video. If you're ready to level up your brand, you need to visit purefocus.media and schedule your strategy call today.
Yes, and that makes a big difference, having that realistic expectation set in advance, because it's a process. No matter what you're dealing with in your line of work, it is a process. And so setting that fundamental example of, this is what you're looking at, this is what we're doing, but it's going to take this long. So they know that on the front end, because a lot of times they are displaced. If this is a big fire, they're out of their home, they're living with family, they're in a hotel. So this is like every day that they're not in their home, it weighs on them more than just regular inconveniences. So knowing that, they are able to go, okay, we can do this. We have a number, we have a time frame, we can do this. But the lack of communication just, it feels like it's never going to end. I want to know a little bit about Paul Davis itself. We need to talk about how the company came to be and all of those things. How long has it been in business?
So Paul Davis Restoration, like, has been owned Thomas Owens. So we're a bunch of Christian Brothers high school guys, okay. About a third of our team. Thomas Owens, the owner, class of 97. Joseph Davis, class of 99. Brad Selig, class of 93. He's the head of our construction department. So we've got, like, I mean, I want to say a third of our team are Christian Brothers guys. Thomas bought the business from the Bloses. It's Paul and John Blose. They owned it for several decades. I don't know the exact date, so forgive me, Kristen.
No,
but
that's all right.
We've had the territory and the business going for several decades. People have heard of us. Thomas took it over and bought it in November of 2022. Okay. Right when he bought the business, too, and he kept Paul Blose on. Paul's still in the business. One of those guys that keeps saying he's going to retire. Wealth of knowledge, learn and continue to learn a lot from him, but still hanging on. I mean, he'll retire when he's ready. But again, we've got Brad, who's kind of taken over the construction department. But Thomas took it over and bought it in November of 22. We had a huge, and this is before I got there, but huge freeze as soon as he bought it. So it was like a trial by fire or ice, if you want to say that.
Absolutely.
Around Christmas, of course. But, you know, it's honestly, probably a better thing to go ahead and just get thrown to the wolves, sink or swim. And Thomas and the team have swam. Thomas is, also brought on Herky Cantu. I think Herky came to Thomas, and Herky's dad was CEO of ServiceMaster Brands for a while. So Herky is our ops director and in this industry, kind of grew up in it. So just a wealth of knowledge. So Herky came to Thomas. I don't know if that was 23 or 24. I think it was 23. And he came on. They've doubled the size of the business, hence why I even came on. It was like, hey, we're on an upward trajectory, doubled revenue in a short period of time, need somebody that can take us to the next level outside of program work. So a lot of franchise restoration companies, the benefit, you have to pay royalties, but we have carrier relationships. We have probably, 25 different carriers that actually send us work. And as long as we meet these SLAs, service level agreements, which are stringent, they're strict. You know, there's a certain amount of time to contact somebody once we've gotten a referral. Mm-hmm. You know, and what we do is we let them know, hey, you get to choose your contractor, but there's a reason why this carrier has sent you to, you know, refer to us, because you still have to sell them on, and that sort of thing. And then you've got to adhere to these agreements and you know, get things done in a reasonable amount of time, price it a certain way. And if you don't, you do not receive leads from that carrier anymore. You can get kicked off. So, but that is a benefit, is, you know, getting that work. Well, my job is to get work outside of that, you know, and, I actually have a, you know, a marketing background for, you know, even home and commercial services. So even setting up paid digital ads, you know, Google ads, Google LSAs, we do Facebook ads, was even talking with your husband over there. I don't know if it's okay to give him a shout out, but about like even doing and editing some of my own, but I probably could use a little help on that front too.
Shout out to your focus.
There you go. But hey, I don't mind that at all. Because it's, you know, my skills are only so good and I'm learning too. And there's only so much you can do in things like CapCut. So anyway.
And that's one of the best things, is knowing where your strengths are and leaning into that and delegating the rest. Find somebody who is great at those things. You don't love it. You can muddle through it. You can get it done. But that's not where you are best utilized. Yep. And sending it to them and letting them take care of it.
And so many things you can do. And you know, we stay busy. I mean, you know, even in the down season, you know, we're staying pretty consistent. But you know, that's also part of my job. Get our names out there. Get, you know, get out there and sell. Get out and network. You know, and I'm also running some of our ads. But we'll probably eventually farm that out too as we grow. You know, and that's also just having good conversations with our owner, Thomas, and Herky, our ops director, you know, when those needs arise, like, hey, you know, I think we could put some budget towards farming some of this out. And we've had those conversations, because again, at the end of the day, my job is sales and to bring work outside of the program, work in the door.
Yeah. So speaking to other people in marketing or people in just business development doing what you do, or even entrepreneurs that are attempting to do all of that. You have solopreneurs that are having to do all of the things. If you had to give just one or two, maybe three little tips or words of wisdom that you've learned throughout your time, because you've done everything. I mean, being a nonprofit for so long and then moving to this and doing so much within this realm even. What are some words of wisdom that you would share?
Number one that pops in my head when you ask that, and this is more of a, I don't know, higher level kind of leadership thing, is authenticity. I would say that's probably one of the most important things when you're marketing and selling your business. You want to come from a place of authenticity. Same for any kind of leadership role. People tend to smell through or see through things that aren't authentic. You know, especially now with AI, everything, and don't get me wrong, I use AI to help with things, but I don't have it do everything for us, or even when I'm doing things for marketing. But it's getting better and better, you know, those capabilities. But at the end of the day, if you're trying to sell the business, especially if it, you're small, like mom and pop, and come from a place of authenticity, and don't be afraid to put some things out there. Don't overthink a lot of things too. Sometimes I think people, analysis paralysis, like, or it, not just that with just analytical things, but like, not feeling comfortable being on camera. It's easier now with, you know, these little computers in our pockets, that have cameras and stuff to do. These are pretty powerful things that you can use to market your business. But when you're doing that and you're filming yourself, do it authentically. You know, don't live through an avatar and make some things up. Again, people see through that stuff pretty quickly. But if you're coming from the heart and you're advertising your business, especially as the business owner, you know, or get somebody that is comfortable on camera that you trust to rep the business. That's kind of how I am with Thomas and team. So, I would say, you know, even going a little more granular, like as far as marketing goes, like Facebook, Instagram, but start with Facebook, you know, and even advertising through there. Same with Google, LSAs. They're somewhat newer, but I do recommend that small business owners do look at Google LSAs and advertising and focusing it on Facebook. And you don't have to have an Instagram page, but you can still advertise through Instagram through your Facebook business page. So I probably have more, but I you know.
Contact him directly. We'll give you all the information you need. So one final question. Normally we say, as a member of the chamber, what is something that you have developed or gained personally or professionally? But with you being a brand new member, that may or may not really happen yet.
I can still speak to it, Kristen.
Go for it then.
You know, so as a new member with the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, the first thing I noticed from even just coming to, I think it was a luncheon, a 101 luncheon, how well this group holds themselves. I was honestly I didn't have any real expectations coming over here, but meeting Chantel, now meeting you, Kristen, and Chad as well, to see her at the front, and who's the I just met her and I'm going to forget her name.
Our president?
The president.
That's Debbie.
Yeah, yes. I can't, sorry, Debbie. Don't hold that against me. I just met her once and her husband, but the way the folks over here hold themselves, the amount of events, and opportunities for small, not just small businesses, all businesses in the South Haven area, got a wealth of opportunities. But really just the amount of events and opportunities for networking and that sort of thing. Kristen, like I didn't think that there would be this much and that it was this well put together. Not that I had low expectations that y'all are going to not have it together over here in South Haven with the chamber, but I was pleasantly surprised at the way the staff holds themselves and the number of events, the number of opportunities, the way Chantel walked us through, like all of those things that they have to offer. It was very straightforward. And anytime I've had to email or ask about things, even scheduling this opportunity, you guys have gotten back to me quick. Communication's been top notch and I'm just looking forward to doing more with you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I love that. And that we made a good first impression. So that's actually what Sierra's title is. I don't know if they told you. She is our director of first impressions. So she's the one that makes us look good.
A great first impression with Sierra and the rest of the team for sure.
Well, with the events and everything, I like to tell people that we can keep you as busy as you want to be. And we can put you in front of as many people as you want to see. But we have so many and so varied in the opportunities so that no matter where you are in your business, you can find your value. So every event may not be for you, but you want to do more professional development. We have, you know, daytime lunch and learns. You want to get in front of those people. We've got morning and afternoon events. So no matter what your schedule is, there is something that you can attend. So you can come to everything if you want to. We've got a few that are our ambassadors and that are our core people, and they're going to come to absolutely everything. And they have built that facial recognition, and that showing up builds that credibility. And that's fantastic. But they're like, I can't hustle that hard because I've got to be in the office. So being able to pick and choose, that's what my goal is as the events and sponsorships director. I want to give you every opportunity that I can think of to build your business and to build your brand. So with you being a new member, I'm excited to watch your journey and even more excited to watch you develop into your space as you learn it even more. So thank you for joining the chamber and becoming part of the family.
Yeah, thank you, Kristen. Looking forward to growing with y'all.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for sitting down with us for another episode of South Haven Business Beat. Check out Paul Davis Restoration. You may not need it right this second, but you never know. And having that knowledge and information and who to call when those events do happen is vital information to go ahead and research in advance and know who you can trust and reach out to Joseph, and he will happily guide you through those situations. And if you haven't done so, click that subscribe button down at the bottom so that you don't miss a single episode of South Haven Business Beat. We'll see you next time. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources.